Thank you, Dwight. Wonderful words of life. Would you please stand this morning for the reading of the scripture? In John 12 and 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him at the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." You may be seated. You know, the words of Jesus Christ are so very, very important. And we can eliminate much of the confusion that is in the world today if people would just simply adhere to the truth of God's eternal word. This morning, I do want you to focus with me on this one thought. Why is there so much religious confusion? Do you realize that Satan is the author of confusion, but religion is the distributor of it? Now, there is a difference between being religious and being righteous. We have a lot of folks in our world that believe that because they are religious, that they meet with the divine approval of Almighty God, and that all is well in heaven. But we know, according to the Bible, that the world will be religiously divided. Not because it was the blueprint of God, not because anything was wrong with the architect, but because people have wanted through the years to amend the truth of our Father in heaven. These symbols, believe it or not, all represent some kind, some form of religiosity. And people are tuned in to what they believe and what they want instead of what the Bible actually teaches. And so every day in their life, they begin to feel as if though they're faced with a maze when it comes to knowing what is right scripturally according to the Word of God. I believe that we can avoid religious confusion. We can. But we do it by what Christ said in the book of John 5 and verse 39. He said to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Paul said in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 that we are to prove all things. Isn't it interesting that people care very little about proof, but they're honed in on what they think and what they believe and what they want? That's what they're doing in Washington right now. Believe it or not, our nation is divided today, not over crimes, but upon what people want from the other fella. The Bible says that we are to speak as oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. And in the book of John, the 8th chapter, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And I can tell you, where truth is, there's no confusion. It isn't. And when we really seek the Word of God, there is no confusion. But we have so many people in the world today that are confused because they're not seeking truth. They're not. There are many lies that people have been led to believe. A lot of fake news being circulated in our world. And oddly enough, people had rather believe a lie and be damned, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, than to believe the truth and be right with God. I want to talk to you about the cure, not only the cause of religious confusion, but the cure for it as well. How can we avoid religious confusion? Let's develop a standard. In our world today, people have abandoned the standard. People have said, well, you know, the Bible is irrelevant. Isn't it amazing that we all want to go back to the Constitution and we all want to say, well, you know, we have to do what is right constitutionally. Why don't we get back to the Word of God with just as much zeal and enthusiasm and fervor, folks? I mean, if we really believe God and we believe the Bible really is the Word of God, why don't we ask people for a thus saith the Lord in a world that is so confused, religiously speaking? You talk about confusion. There was a 90-year-old grandmother one time who was buying Christmas presents for the family and friends. But she found it a little bit too much to do that this year. So she wrote out checks for all of them and put them inside the Christmas card. Well, in each card she carefully wrote, "Buy your own present," and then she sent the cards off. After the Christmas festivities were all over, she found the checks under a pile of papers on her desk. And everyone on her gift list had received a beautiful Christmas card from her with the words, "Buy your own present." How confused do you think they were? You know what? When we don't have a standard, and I'm going to tell you something, the Bible really is the standard. It really is. It is the spiritual constitution of every soul. And if we're going to be right with God, we have to get back to "thus saith the Lord." Every time Jesus was confronted with a temptation, he always replied, "It is written." I wonder how many of us would be able to do that. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which has been proclaimed or preached, let him be anathema, let him be cut off." And then that passage I read a moment ago in John 12 and verse 48 that says, "He that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Yes, we can eliminate religious confusion. One of the questions that people ask me a lot of times, and I hear a lot of other people say it, accusations that people bring again. We got a lot of accusations floating around. This is one of them, that the Church of Christ is a cult. Well, let me tell you, folks, the Church of Christ is no cult. And I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus established a cult, I want to be in it. But the church is not a cult. A church consists of a body of believers who are seeking to do the will of God and abide by the spiritual constitution. No way is the church a cult. But it follows the standard, that is, the Holy Scriptures. And when you eliminate the standard, where do you go? I guess people could do anything and everything they wanted to do, religiously speaking, and that's why there's so much confusion in today's world. When you abandon it, and when you use God's Word as your standard, you don't have to wonder what the will of God actually is. We're not called to be like other Christians, as they refer to themselves. We're called to be like Christ. God didn't call you to be like every person in this church, but he called you to be like Jesus, folks. And that is the standard, isn't it? Let the word standard stand for something. Strong prayer life, tenacity, accountability before God, never complaining. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Be devoted unto God, armed with spiritual armor. Ephesians chapter 6, ready to do the will of God and dedicated to the purpose of Almighty God. If I were to ask you the question this morning, what are your standards? What are your standards? Peter said, "But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And we are. We don't have to be in question about what we are to do or how we're to live our lives. You can avoid religious confusion by developing a standard, because when there is no standard, It's like in the Old Testament, the Bible said when there was no king, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. We got a king today. His name is King Jesus. The book of Hebrews 8 and verse 5 says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God, listen to this, when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. You see, God gave Moses instructions concerning the tabernacle. When God designed something, he meant for it to be made and constructed just like he said. No deviation at all. We must build the church today according to the pattern. But is there really a standard today? Yes, the standard's found in the Holy Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. You keep the word. You make sure that you hold on to the pattern. You know what's happened in the religious world today? Is the fact that people have abandoned the pattern. They have. Because in many places, even those who call themselves the Church of Christ have abandoned the pattern. We've eliminated the church of the New Testament in many respects. No longer. You know, when you pull up in front of a building and says Church of Christ, that doesn't mean it is. No more than someone who swims the Rio Grande and comes to America and claims to be an American is an American. Get back to the standard. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Is there ever a time when speaking the truth is inappropriate? No. It's not inappropriate to speak the truth. You stand up for the truth. You speak the truth. You love the truth. You abide by the truth. And don't be in question about what the truth actually is. Don't be afraid of where truth will lead you. We can avoid religious confusion by following what the Bible says about worship. But a lot of times when people abandon the standard, it doesn't make any difference. We got people doing all kind of stuff today in the name of worship unto God. They call it worship. They run up down the aisles. They jump over pews. It reminds you kind of that church in Pascagoula, Mississippi, where the squirrel got loose. We got people doing all kinds of things that are not according to truth. For Matthew 15 and 8, Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men and not the commandments of Almighty God. Worship is such an important thing. We are here today to worship God, to honor Him, to declare His word. That's what we are all about. And God's standard for acceptable worship is found therein. For in John, the 4th chapter, in verse 24, Jesus said that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For such doth the Father seek. The acts of worship according to the Bible are found. God doesn't leave us without knowledge according to what we are to do in terms of worship. Oh, we can do a lot of things in worship. A lot of people do. A lot of people bring the television and watch the cowboy game. Boy, aren't they doing great this year. That's not what you do in the name of Christ. I had a dear little old lady about 90 years old right after I moved to Palestine call me. And she said, Brother Manuel, is it wrong to watch these shoot 'em ups? You only heard them call in. I said, yeah, no, but don't you be watching them Dallas Cowboys. But we got a lot of people that do all kinds of things in the name of worship. But according to the Bible, we're to preach, we're to teach the Word of God, we're to sing, we're to pray, we're to observe the Lord's Supper, we're to give unto God, and that's what God says. The Church of Jesus Christ practices what the Bible actually says about worship. You know, folks, let me tell you something. When you do things in God's way, you don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to worry about whether or not you did it right or wrong. When you do it according to the Bible, it's always right. The New Testament is a pattern for worship in the Church of Jesus Christ. Again, there shouldn't be any big question mark over what we do in terms of worship. But how do we avoid religious confusion? Many people are so confused today, they really, really are, because they believe that sincerity is all that matters. It amazes me sometimes how people talk about how sincere they are. But is it acceptable in the eyes of God to be sincerely wrong? Because they think something is okay, and because they're sincere in believing it, does that make it right? No. Solomon said many years ago in the book of Proverbs that there is a way that appears right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Paul said one time that he did everything in all good conscience, but he said, I was wrong in Acts chapter 20, and I repented and I changed in sincerity and death. The problem with this concept of sincerity is that it never does guarantee that you are right. It disregards God's standard. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. When I think about this concept of is sincerity enough, I'm reminded of what Paul said, and I'm reminded of a man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, the first Gentile convert. Now, Cornelius had been praying, he'd been fasting, he'd been going through what he called his worship unto God. But Peter helped him understand more fully the will of God. He hadn't been baptized into Christ. And Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? His sincerity was not going to get him into heaven. And let me tell you something, folks. If you're hoping to go to heaven just based upon a sincere heart, you won't get there. Unless that sincerity conforms to what the Word says. That is the bottom line. It is. You won't make it. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the church that was so divided religiously. And they were so confused. Some were saying, I'm Paul, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. And Paul even asked the question, who died for you? Paul didn't die for you. Cephas didn't die for you. It was Christ who died for you. He said, may you all speak the same things and be of the same mind one toward another. What he essentially is saying is get rid of all the religious confusion and turn back to God. Because sincerity is not enough. It never has been, and it never will be. Even though Saul had been very zealous and sincere, he was sincerely wrong about God. There is that way that appears right, but it can be the way of death. You can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. That's why we follow God and not men. Sometimes people say, well, I'm sorry. I'm real sincere. Sincerely sorry. But are you sorry enough to obey the standard of God? Not the standard of men, but the standard of God. And there again, you don't have to be confused about what is right and what is wrong. Many times in our world today, the world is confused, religiously speaking, simply because they say that in order to be a Christian, all you have to do is believe in God. You know, the Bible in the book of James says that the devils believe and tremble. The devils, listen, The devils believe in God. Did you know that? They're not stupid. Devils aren't stupid. They're smart. And they believe in God. And they tremble. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." How are you going to get there? Doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. James chapter 2 says, if you have faith and you don't have works, your faith is dead. That's what he said. He says, like the body without the spirit is dead. He says, faith without works. If you're not working to serve God, a lot of people teach all you got to do is believe. And, you know, your ticket's punched to heaven. You're going there. Don't worry about it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. You better let God talk you out of it, folks. James 2:19 says, you do well to believe in God. But Satan also believes and tremble. That's why the Word of God says that we have to do more than believing in Christ. We have to believe, all right, but we have to be baptized. Isn't that what Christ said? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Get the picture. Even if you were to, in English, to diagram that sentence, you would understand that there are two issues at hand. Believing and being baptized, and then you have the little conjunction over here that says "and," that meaning that both of those are of equal importance, and it points to the direct object, which is salvation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And folks, you won't be saved short of it. But you don't have to go around with a big question mark. You don't have to be in state of confusion, religiously speaking. A lot of the religious confusion could be eliminated today. Some people say, let your conscience be your guide. Conscience is not always a safe guide. If your conscience has not been educated to what is right, let me ask you a question. If you learned all of your life that 2 and 2 equal 5, do you think you would ever come to the conclusion that 2 and 2 equal 4? Or if you learned that the square root of 144 is 10, do you think you would ever come to the conclusion that the real square root would be 12? Some people still persist. Let your conscience be your guide. But that's a false concept, folks. It is. Because conscience, listen, is conscience a safe guide? If it's based upon the Word of God. But if it's not, that's why Paul deviated. That's why Paul was wrong. He had a clear conscience. He said, I have lived, listen to his own words in the book of Acts 23 and verse 1. I've lived in all good conscience unto this very day. But he was conscientiously wrong. And those words are so important, and they've been preserved in the Holy Scriptures for over 2,000 years. Think about it. Many people will go to hell because they followed their conscience. That's true. You see, there is an authority in religion or in the Word of God. What is the rule for some people today? It's what they think, what they believe, what they want, instead of what God wants. Don't be confused. There is a way to understand the truth. A lot of people say, well, you know, they're all kind of churches. You know, we've got a multiplicity of them. Pick and choose. I want the Lord's church, folks. I don't want to worship in a place where they're not worshiping biblically. I don't want to worship with a group of people that are not following the biblical pattern for worship. And when they're not following the biblical pattern for salvation, when they're teaching things that are contradictory to what the law of Christ actually teaches, why would I want to parlay with someone like that? I don't want to work with someone who's working against America. Would you? No. You wouldn't. For the Bible in Ephesians 4 and verse 4 said there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one body. That's the church that Jesus established, folks. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church. You know what? There are all kinds of churches in the day of Jesus. Did you know that? The word church is not new. In the, you know, we use that word, the Greek word that was really used by Jesus in the book of Matthew 16 was the word ekklesia. That's just a big word, but it in the Greek language, but it actually means the called out. And even at one point in the New Testament, a certain mob was referred to as the ekklesia. There were many ekklesias in the day of Jesus. And that's why he said, he didn't say, I'm going to build the church. He said, I'm going to build my church. It's going to be different. It's not going to be like the rest of the world. But it's going to be my church. And he said, the gates of hell will never destroy it, never prevail against it. And I'm thankful that he did it. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That's why I believe the church will always be in existence. The church will prevail. And Christ is the rock of his church, not Peter, as some people teach. Question about denominationalism, and folks, and I'm just being honest and upfront with you about it. I'm down to where the rubber meets the road this morning. Is denominationalism acceptable in the eyes of God when they teach lies? You know what? When they teach truth, that's great, that's wonderful. But many are teaching lies. When they tell you that there's no heaven, there's no hell, that you're dead, when you're dead, life's all over for you. Or they teach everybody's going to heaven, no one's going to be lost. Or they teach that all you have to do is just accept Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. Show me in the Word of God where the Word says that, folks. Nowhere did Jesus ever teach that. Don't have to be any question any longer. You don't. You can avoid religious confusion when we recognize there is a judgment. Some say there is no judgment. But I'm telling you, as sure as I stand before you this morning, there is coming a judgment. I shared it with you at the very beginning of the onset of this lesson this morning in the book of John 12. Listen to it again. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. And the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Sounds to me like there's going to be a judgment. Matter of fact, Christ spent numerous verses in the book of Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46 talking about it. Paul referred to it numerous times throughout the writings of the gospel in the book of Romans chapter 14, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The book of Revelation chapter 20 talks about the great white throne judgment. And we'll all be standing there before God. Yes, there's going to be a judgment. For Paul says in Athens, Greece, when he stood atop of Mars Hill, He says, "For he hath appointed a day wherein he is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, giving us the assurance that he hath raised him from the dead," that is Jesus. Two things are for certain. Everyone's going to die if we're not living when Christ comes. And then we will face the judgment, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. "For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment." There is a judgment. These scriptures up here in Matthew 11, 12, 25, and also in the book of Luke, chapter 16, all verify what I've been telling you this morning. You need to see what you need to see, not just what you want to see. And we need to search the scriptures daily to see if the things that are being taught are so. I've challenged you to do that every time I preach a sermon. I don't get up here and say, "You discredit everything that I say." I tell you, you search the scripture, you find out if I'm telling you the truth, so help you God, live it. But if I'm telling you something that you won't find in the Holy Scriptures, you rebuke me, you can do it publicly. Because I stand for truth, folks. We'll always stand for truth. I'm not in question this morning about my relationship with God, because I know it's based upon the Holy Scriptures. And now is the time for you to begin building your life, but only according to the pattern. Building all things according to the pattern. Avoid the religious confusion, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So we must walk in the light as he is the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7. If you want to zip up hell and get rid of it and start living as a child of God with hopes of going to heaven, you have to repent of your sin upon your belief in Jesus and be baptized for the remission of sins. And I'm going to tell you something freely this morning. Even though it's counter to what the world says, the world says you can practice Islam, you can be a believer in Buddhism, you can practice Hinduism, you can go. Let me tell you, the Word of God says that Christ is the only way. In the book of John, the 14th chapter, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." And that is truth. Are you ready to follow him this morning while we stand and while we sing?